It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
Well, we believe Greg has taken off. The gun is sounded. The 5Kers are off, and that includes Greg. He'll walk run his way back here to the Grand, the Scorpion Bar in the Seaport, where you can get your New Year's Eve tickets, Curtis. Good place for you. Bring James down.
Oh, he loves New Year's. You know what the best thing about New Year's is for James is you don't sleep, because he doesn't. Anyway.
Visit BigNightNYE.com. That's the place to get your New Year's Eve tickets.
Loves being awake, that man.
Keeps you going.
Keeps me going. So we're here, Greg Hill Foundation, 5K. I see Michael's Deli over there. I'm going to have to jump on that. I have not eaten. But it is a gorgeous day to run in Boston, and I have a feeling we're going to find out about Juan Soto
today,
between now and noon.
Ooh, wow, really?
Yeah. Because it's West
shifted.
Coast. He's going to wake up. He's going to say, all right.
Have the poly market odds swayed you in any way?
No. Look at the total money wagered on it, you dunce. But anyway, it'll be a fascinating decision. I think it's between the Mets. If you get to this point, staying where you were is not likely. So I think it'll be the Mets or the Red Sox.
But look at how the Red Sox have just shot up here in the last 24 hours.
And then they went, something they went way down. You see how they shot up and now they went down?
And it did peak at 67%,
right?
At 4:30 this morning.
Right. And it's, what does 5:38 have the odds at?
By the way, it's December the 7th. Would you like to announce a special day in American history today, or was that yesterday?
I was a one day off with that puppy. But by the way, did you hear that fun fact? And that Greg had seen the Capone car at the museum in Stowe.
I heard him say that. Do you think it was the actual same one that?
I mean,
was being discussed.
It's wild.
Reset that story. It was Capone.
So when Pearl Harbor was attacked. The President FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, met and was preparing a speech. He did just like President Bush did after the attacks of 9/11. There was a joint session of Congress, usually reserved for the State of the Union, that occurred in the day after the attacks on Pearl Harbor. My grandfather, George Curtis, was a captain and was in Hawaii, Oahu, off Pearl Harbor.
Wow.
That day.
Who knew there was bravery in the Curtis
I know.
Bloodline?
Believe me, it skipped two generations. No. So that awful, horrific day that will live in infamy, was perpetrated against us by the Empire of Japan. And then, so the next day, there was concern in getting FDR from the White House to Congress. They had at that time $750 annually allotted for protection for the President of the United States for a vehicle. And so there was fear that there was someone in the United States that was going to pick off FDR in a continuation of the attack and to, you know, destabilize the U.S. before entering World War II. And so somebody in the White House said, you know what, I have an idea. We have seized Al Capone's car for tax fraud. And they used that car, which was bulletproof, to get FDR from the White House to to Congress, and where he delivered the words, "December 7th is a day that will live in infamy," which is just, you know, pretty interesting, pretty amazing. And it's also wild. My parents were talking to me. They recently went to Normandy for the first time, and how it's so close, as in, it's on the shores of France, and it's so recent that was the battle for freedom Like, it's so crazy to conceptualize, because you think of history, you think of, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years, and, you know, you think of whatever, but that there are still people today alive, thankfully, that saved us from that. To think that France was occupied by Nazi Germany.
Yeah.
Like, it's just wild that it wasn't that long ago. But anyway.
And I do think it was so remarkable, it overshadows the Pacific Theater a lot. And
right.
You lose sight of Pearl Harbor, but just everything that led up to it was almost a mainland invasion of Japan, and obviously the bombs and everything else. So,
And it's always fascinating to hear both sides, but because obviously Oppenheimer was that last summer or the summer before, and brought back, you know, the pursuit of the atomic bomb and creating it and what that did and whether that was proper or not, and, you know, what it saved, what it did. Anyway, it's just.
But long story short, Greg claims to have.
So Greg, when I told this the other day on the Greg Hill Show, said that he had actually cleaned that car because he did a brief stint as a, what was it, like a, just a employee of the World War II Museum, or the, not the World War Museum, the American Museum,
yeah,
in Stowe. And so
we got to repurpose that baby for the road shows. Get Greg in some bulletproof protection.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine Wiggy driving around the North End in Al Capone's car?
All right. Now, back to the topics at hand. So Mayo sat down. First of all, Mayo was rattled earlier this week by you yet again. You're continuing to push him to the brink. Although, do you really believe Kraft would ever fire him after a year based on their friendship and the time he put into it? I really don't see it as a possibility.
So, you know how they say in baseball, you can't win the division in April, but you can lose it?
Yeah.
I don't think there was anything Mayo could do outside of punting on first down as a coach on the field this year that would have cost him his job. However, the things that Gerard Mayo was believed to be good at, resonating with the players, communicating in a way that hadn't been done with Bill Belichick, collaborative approach, no silos, better mood, all that stuff. The issues off the field have maintained or gotten worse. And the press conferences, the amount of things that he's walked back, going all the way to the start, the first time we spoke with him, we're going to burn some cash, which were the words that resonated the entire offseason when it came to the Patriots' inability to bring in talented players. If indeed he said that without knowing it, that is a first strike against you, and then you get into the regular season. And I went back and forth with Nink on this yesterday. We were at the great event with Ernie Bach and Toys for Tots. I said, if what he meant was not bothersome to the players, why did he have to clean it up?
Yeah.
And it's not fair.
But they haven't bailed on him. I mean, they still are playing for him.
Right. I guess my point is so they have Drake May, which we all agree is essential to getting back. And that's their cheat code to skip the line.
And Mayo hasn't ruined Drake May, whereas Bill ruined Mac.
Okay, but that's fair. However, we sit here today, and if Ben Johnson is available,
which he is,
and you have the money and the wherewithal, and he says, I see Drake May, I can make that guy a champion. That's my meal ticket.
I mean, that makes sense, but I don't think Kraft would even be swayed by that. But Kraft will be too stubborn to pull the plug on Mayo and go after Benjamin.
But here's how you get the elegant solution, and it was fielded by our friend Zoe, which is you Brad Stevens him in some way, shape, or form.
I think Mayo would quit. I don't know.
But I don't think Mayo... There's the potential that this is just not what he thought it was going to be. You know, it's not wild to think that. Like, this could be something that he finds to be.
But he doesn't say, Mayo. When Mayo talks, he seems like a guy who's confident he'll be back next year, and he has a right to feel like he didn't have the ammo. He didn't have the ponies. I mean, they didn't spend for him, so he has a right to be upset, and at least to think, you got to give me another year for my own staff and to get players in here with cash.
Right, but here's, look at the, if you're Robert Kraft and you're viewing this impartially and you see the Seahawks game where you're up, what was it, 5-3, I don't know what it was at the time. They were up 2 to 3 points, they got a field goal, the Seahawks needed a touchdown to win the game. On third down from the 30-yard line or the 25-yard line, they drop back to pass with Jacoby Brissett. He gets sacked. They miss the field goal, or they punt with one of the two. And then the Seahawks go down the field and tie the game, eventually winning it. You have the Titans game where you get that unbelievable last-second touchdown pass from Drake May. You kick the field goal, ultimately lose in overtime. You have the Dolphins game where you can't get your feet in bounds. You lose that game to whoever the hell their quarterback was.
Yeah.
And then you have last week against the who was last week? I'm losing my mind. Was it the Rams?
No, that was the Rams were 2 weeks ago.
What am I thinking? Was it
Colts.
The Dolphins? It was the
Dolphins.
The Colts game. Colts.
Oh, Colts.
Jeez, another brutal loss. So the Colts game where you go up a touchdown and then you, prior to that, you get the ball at midfield with the Gonzalez interception up a touchdown, just needing a field goal, and you lose that game. There are a lot of things that you learn. We all understand it. Bill Belichick had five of his first seasons as a head coach were losing seasons. So it's not easy. But this is a team that has been losing every single one of those close games.
Well, and Mayo admitted to Curran this week that they have been having chats with ownership. He has, after every one of these games. Here's that clip from NBC Sports Boston this week.
How does it go after a game? Do they say, why didn't you go for two? Is it that blunt, or what was the thought process?
We always debrief the games, and they're very, they just want to know at least my thought process. And they absolutely, just like the fans, sometimes don't agree with the way that the game is going. You know, obviously when you lose games, the questions are plentiful.
Pointed.
Very pointed. That's right.
Plentiful.
That's right. And again, though, as the head coach, like, I have to be able to answer those questions. And my job is not only to protect the coaches, but also protect the players. And that's why I try to take 100% accountability.
Okay, so do you think Bill debriefed with ownership at all during his tenure?
0.0.
Okay, so Mayo's being more collaborative. He's letting the Crafts get involved.
What do you think happened after Super Bowl 52? Do you think, like, he just ignored the calls? Like,
yes.
So he just said,
probably
like,
just walked by him in the hallway, just, you know.
F off.
Went straight to Nantucket or wherever. I mean, there's no way Bill would have ever agreed to that. And I don't even know, from a fan standpoint, is it a good thing? Are you happy Kraft is... Maybe you are. Maybe you love that. Maybe you want him to be pressing Mayo. At least that. At least he cares.
Yeah, to me, that's not the answer. Robert Kraft doesn't know more about football than Gerard Mayo. I don't want him meeting with the coach and giving him pointers.
What about Jonathan?
No.
What about Robin Glazer?
Robin Glazer, now that's someone who knows ball.
But Elliot Wolf could be in there. Maybe the GM, they have a whole huddle. I mean, they
look at that draft debrief after Drake May.
I should start this on the morning show. Just have you come in with the whole crew. Let's debrief. Let's go blow by blow.
I would say the unbelievable, the Patriots draft last year looks horrific. And by the way, good Shaughnessy once again, good column, talking about he spoke with Wendy Murphy about you know, the Jabril Peppers allegations. With you know, domestic violence against alleged domestic violence, and they really better be 1,000% sure that there was nothing. Obviously, the drugs are the drugs, whatever. By the way, quietly, did you see the CBA this week? The players and owners agreed to double the floor of positive marijuana tests.
Mm.
So it's becoming more and more pervasive, which, God, I mean, it should, whatever, who cares?
Right.
If you can drink, you can smoke pot.
Ernie had a bag of weed at the broadcast.
That's right. That was interesting. And I think Danielle walked away with it.
I think she did.
But if there is anything with Jabril Peppers, and Mayo immediately stuck his neck out saying, I spoke with him.
Oh, like that could get him in hot water down the road?
If you're playing him on a team that's done, and he is guilty of what he's been charged of, then the organization looks, I mean, that is a pantsing of epic proportions, where what's, every day, cost-benefit, right? What's the benefit of him playing?
Well, the 3-10, I mean.
So he can make you maybe win a game. If he plays and it comes out that he's not been honest with Robert Kraft about what happened, or with Gerard Mayo, then the organization has this, I'm not going to use the term because it's a reference to violence, but they will have a bad record. They will have a smear, not a black eye, but something to that effect.
Do you think there's a chance Mayo gets fired? 617-779-7937.
I think the other one is, would you? We had 7 out of 10 that said they would.
Yep, and would you? And if you say yes, what's the real thing that has pushed you over the edge to say he doesn't deserve a second year? Because logically...
And I think Greg just got to 1,000 yards.
But you would admit, it doesn't make sense to fire him after 1 year with this roster.
If you know he's not the guy, yeah.
With this roster, with this coaching staff that was put upon him, he had no chance.
Do you think
had
the Cowboys fans regret not firing McCarthy last year?
Yes.
So then
but
there
he
is
was there for how many years?
But that's the point, is that once you realize, like Bill was here for many years, at the end he lost it. I didn't say fire him in 2004. I said get rid of him in 2023.
Do you think Bill's the greatest coach on planet Earth?
I would put Billy O up there.
Okay. All right, Billy O was here last year. He did poorly. Bill did poorly.
I would ask a question. Bill lost three of the last four seasons. We're losing seasons. You know, it. My question would be simply, if also, so should Mayo be fired? Good question. Is it not fair? Fair, whatever. If Bill goes back to coaching, will you think less of him as a college coach? If Bill goes to freaking Tobacco Road.
Of course, that would be... is that even a debate?
Has Tobacco Road been canceled?
No, I don't think so. Greg still dips.
Okay, Tar Heels.
Okay. All right, 617-779-7937. We'll take some calls on that. The future of Mayo. Is there any exit strategy here for Robert Kraft?
I'm feeling crazy. I'm going to go get a Diet Coke.
Okay, while you do that, let's listen to Co and what happened. We got to talk a little Celtics. Big win over the Bucks last night. I got home from Cirque du Soleil in time to see the end. And it was a good game. A lot of back and forth.
Yep.
Zach's got the details.
Missoula better than Joe. I mean, better than Doc.
You and I were horribly wrong.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Wrong on Joe. Yeah. Let's just admit that right now. Yeah. Here's what's trending. Ken and Curtis continue from the Grand Scorpion Bar in the Seaport for the Greg Hill Jingle All the Way 5K. Normal runners should be done by now, correct, Curtis? 24 minutes in?
Yes. Right around there. My ear... Here, it's like I'm on a roller coaster, but we'll get through it. Yes, I think this is about the time that you would wrap, and then Greg will be done tomorrow. I just had a half a turkey sandwich from Michael's Deli, and holy crap.
Any chutney?
No chutney. Plain Jane. But I have to say, you know how you have to go back if you're really hungry and you go to a place and it remembered as being unbelievable?
Yep.
Like right now, I probably would have eaten the cardboard, but either way, it was spectacular. So the runners will come up here. There's a wide array of sandwiches from Michael's Deli that are spectacular. And we were talking about Kraft and Henry. If Belichick ends up in college, or if the only place up, oh, I have no. There we go. What in the world? Oh, now it's much. Oh, not really. Anyway, how many engineers does it take for Ken Laird?
I shouldn't have messed with it. It's my fault.
Unbelievable. It was okay.
It was not perfect, and I had Griff like rework everything. And now
does this sound normal over the air? Oh, good. Well, then that's. I mean, what's in my head anyway doesn't make sense. let's just work this. If Bill's only opportunity to have the control he had here is with Jacksonville,
yep,
or with North Carolina, doesn't that show that Kraft made the right decision?
It shows that the NFL is now scared of old coaches. It's become a young man's game.
So I'll ask again.
He has been phased out.
Does that show that Kraft made the right decision?
Well, yeah. Nobody doubts that he made the right decision, do they?
What? On the morning show? Everybody says it was a mistake.
I mean... Maybe Greg's still hanging on to that.
Courtney, Wiggy, Greg all said that if they had the opportunity, they would bring back what's his face, Bill Belichick.
I don't remember hearing that. I doubt that.
Okay, I'm on the show every day. I hear it. I'm not lying to you. This is much better. Perfect. Oh God, Ken sounds normal.
In the meantime, while we sort this out, can we go to the phones?
Oh, please.
Let's talk to Mike in New Hampshire. Hello, Mike.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
All right.
Good.
I think he should be fired because he half the time he looks lost on the sidelines when he's walking around.
So
his head just bouncing around. He doesn't even know what he's. I don't think he knows what he's doing half the time.
Yeah, I feel like if you look at a coach on the sideline and you judge what they're doing, we have no idea what he's saying, what he's doing. So much of, you know, we look at guys like Tony Dungy. I mean, he's in the Hall of Fame. Did he look like he was screaming a lot on the sideline?
And then we lost Mike.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a...
My best argument for Mayo... Well,
and I hope Mike's still alive.
It's twofold. Number one, he has no players. Number two,
okay,
he doesn't have his own staff. And number three, he hasn't ruined Drake May. That's the best I got.
Okay, but in the games that they've lost, couldn't you put some of their performance on the coach?
Yes, absolutely.
And the
no
biggest,
doubt.
The thing
every
that,
week you could.
The thing that's concerning, as I said, it's not about in-game. Like, yes, there's things you can pick out. I mean, for all I know, Alex Van Pelt is listening to the Baby Back Ribs song. Like, I don't know what he's doing, but
he's got the worst offense in football. And somehow he's convinced me that he's improving or he's doing okay.
Right. Well, that's just like, you know.
But Covington's is the 20th defense, and it seems like a disaster. Would you agree?
Right. No, it's a...
But it's both a disaster.
And I'm shocked. I thought Covington was the home run hire, and Van Pelt was going to suck. And it looks like if you had to bet now, Covington be gone, and Van Pelt would be back.
Well, here's the 978 texter who agrees with you, or I guess it's proof that there are Bill people out there. Here's the move. Pats need a coach. Bill needs a job. Kraft brings Bill back. They agree to work together. The fans come back. Bill passes Shula.
Yeah, there is a better shot of... no, I'm not going to say it. Yeah, not likely. So I would say it's fine. We're good. We're good. Everything's good. There's a better chance that there's no chance now that Belichick's coming back here. But I do think there's a legitimate chance that Belichick's not coaching next year in the NFL. Which is shocking.
So what if he's desperate and takes the North Carolina job for a year as a bounce back, a get right?
Okay, so when he's 76?
Yeah, how old is he, 72?
But this just goes back to what I led off with today, Ken, which is simple. The only member of the Holy Trinity of Patriots success that was singularly focused on winning was Tom Brady.
I don't think you could say that for Kraft. I think Kraft wanted to win. He did... Brady, in his eyes, a favor.
Do you think they would have won more if Kraft allowed more spending at the end?
I don't think when Brady was here.
Yes.
They spent to the wall when Brady was here. Brady made them. I'll give him credit for that.
Why did they have to beg for AB at the start of the season? Why did they have to use a second-round pick on Sanu?
But they got AB. They traded for Sanu.
Okay. It is my belief that if they had a roster like the Bucks on offense for a longer period of time, they would have won more. Maybe I'm wrong. Either way. I watch the Patriots, and I see Robert Kraft fixated on Canton, Ohio, Bill Belichick fixated on his kid's future, and I saw Tom Brady, who just became the best player in the history of the sport, by winning. It's what Mahomes is chasing. It's why Mahomes' 92 passer rating is not a number one story, because Brady changed the mold. It was always about Elway and Manning and numbers.
The Tampa Bay title was just so devastating because it was such a fraud. I mean, it was total COVID nonsense. But yeah. But you
the
would
Patriots
just, for the rest of your
the
life,
same preseason.
It is just, Curtis is just for life going to go to it.
You said they would lose in the first round to the Saints. Then you said, I mean, in the first, second round of the Saints. Then you said they would lose to the Packers. Then you said they'd lose to the Bucks.
They should have lost all
Mahomes
three.
Has three playoff losses. In his career, two are to Tom Brady.
I mean, it's fine. Bruce Arians saved his ass. It is what it is. He doesn't win without B.A., one of the great coaches of all time. My personal friend, Bruce Arians.
But I would say if you were to sit down with Tom today, and he, with truth serum, gave you what his most satisfying championship would be, it's 07, I mean, it's the 21 season, and then there's like a pile of feces until he gets to number two. Like, that is his crowning achievement.
Would you at least give me this? Bill is happier this year than Brady.
No.
Just personal life walking around. What? No?
Bill's at cheerleading competitions.
He's happy.
No.
Paulie in Dedham. Hello, Paulie. Talking Gerard Mayo. Good morning.
Good morning, boys. I think Tom Brady's got a better shot of coming back here than Bill Belichick.
Oh, God, Paulie, stop.
I'll tell you that. You got the wrong Belichick. Those guys, I can't believe for the life of me that Greg Hill would be so irrational as to be 100% in on a return by Belichick. I can believe that the pair of airheads, Swifty and Wiggy, would go for something like that. But I would have to hear that from myself and Greg Hill, and because I listen to that show just about every morning. You know that, Curtis. I missed you guys yesterday. I was out late on Thursday night at the Allman Brothers revival. It was a great night. Oh, what a show! What a show! I hope they start bringing these boys back in on that. I'm a couple
who's
of times.
Left?
You know,
who's left of the original band?
Goes, the road goes on forever. No, the kids have taken over and they're killing it. It's unbelievable. But I love Gerard Mayo. I think the only mistake that he made was not while keeping Steve Bell more resourceful, more experienced Steve Belichick as the defensive coordinator. That was dumb, and I said it back then. Okay.
You were the only one, Polly, that said then that you needed to keep Steve Belichick.
I actually am coming around to maybe it. Mayo, it worked for him. He and Steve had a decent defense.
I would give that credit to Bill Belichick.
Okay.
I think Bill is a brilliant defensive mind, the best defensive coach in the history of the NFL. And Steve Belichick still can't stop the. I think Oregon just scored again.
Don't you think Covington is headed for being a fall guy?
Oh, definitely.
I mean, I put that at 90%. He's gone. I have no inside information on that.
I would put it at 100%. The defense, the thing that's most irritating is it would happen frequently, not every week, but a team would begin the game against the Patriots, and they would score on the first drive, and you'd say, wow, that was easy. And then it would stop.
They would correct.
Like, it would. Yeah. They would, you know. Like, look at the first half Chiefs. Like, they had to change their game plan in the second half of that AFC title game in 2018. But you at least shut them down for a half. I mean, what you have now is, like, you and I were not the only people sitting in our living room watching the Colts just go down the field on you. And you said, it's of course going to be a Richardson up the middle for the two-point conversion.
That was like, depressing.
And they just did nothing. No timeouts. And that's what the thing is. What Mayo struggles with.
How about my tankathon theory, though, that they got to Joey Sly and said, hook one there before the half.
Yep. Nope.
And they lost by a field goal. Joey Sly is getting paid, yo. And they are getting Travis Hunter. That is the plan.
You have
that
been so wrong about everything.
I am
so
right.
I want no part of Travis Hunter.
Why?
Because as I said last week, Van Pelt doesn't know he plays offense.
Well, that's fine. Play defense.
But the
I'll take one phase improving.
The issue with Mayo is not just coaching, which is to be expected. There's no feel at the press conference, and there's no feel on the field.
Well, 978 texter says this. So what do you think about this? Mayo does what he's told. He has no power, and he has no plan. Other than that, he's a good coach.
But what's the plan?
Well, that's what he's saying. He has no plan.
But somebody has to have a plan.
The plan is Kraft's running the team, and he's...
Yeah. I'm fascinated by the UNC thing.
Oh, stop with that. It's just a total
fraud. The number one story right now in Boston.
But don't fall for that. You, of all people, you don't believe that's really going
to
happen.
So why would he... Okay, once again, why would Bill Belichick want...
It is mutually beneficial.
For Bill to say that, yes. I want my kid to be the coach in waiting?
Yes, he keeps his name in the news cycle.
Okay, but that's not good news.
He believes that matters.
What did Bill go out of his way to say all last coaching cycle? I'll be collaborative. I don't need ultimate control. When he had that meeting on that stupid boat with Arthur Blank and wherever the hell it was, and St. Barts.
He thinks Shad Khan is going to say, wow, North Carolina wants Bill. Maybe I really should hire him.
What? Why would Shad Khan care about that?
That's what Bill thinks. I'm not in his brain. But he is in the news.
So what do you think the odds are he's coaching college?
Zero. I mean, maybe 1%.
What are the odds that he's not coaching in the NFL?
I got to give that 15%.
If he doesn't come back and coach this year.
He'll go crazy. See, that's where I do think. Push comes to shove. If he doesn't get an NFL job, he might coach high school. He might coach
Him and Trent Dilfer.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That
will be sad.
How the mighty have fallen.
God.
His last game will be that suit he had on with that full black mask against the Jets with 1,500 people at Gillette Stadium. That's more embarrassing than the pick that Brady threw to end his Patriots career.
But do you feel bad for, like, helping to ruin Mayo?
No, not at all. Should I be nice and be? I am nice. Should I be like, you know? Should I say, hey, Gerard, what do you think about that media? Aren't they?
What really drove you nuts Sunday, the Colts game, was his press conference.
Oh my God,
that seems to bother you more than most fans. His press conference,
because that's something that he's been in the media. He's a player. He's not. There are a lot of guys, right?
He wasn't really in the media. So he was on Quick Slants.
Okay, tell that to Tom Curran. He's on every show at the station.
But he would show up, and Curran would ask him
work
questions.
Work with me here, right? So if you are Mike McDaniel, right, who's come out of his skin as the kind of quirky, funny guy.
Yep.
His whole life as a coach, he wasn't growing up talking to media. Gerard Mayo went to Tennessee, which is a, you know, a huge program in the SEC. They win a national championship, or no, they try to win a national championship every year, right? So he's in the media there, facing the media. Then as a player, he was a top 10 draft pick for the New England Patriots the year after they finished a perfect regular season. And he's in that organization for, what, 8-9 years. So the one part of the job, and then he leaves to go in the media and go into the business world. And then the one part of the job he should be handling is something he's really experienced with, which is meeting the media.
Or coaching defense.
And neither have been successful.
No, it's been a...
And so, as I said at the beginning, he couldn't be nicer to me. He's a genuinely good guy. I enjoy talking to him. There's nothing personal at all. It's just, he is not doing well.
No.
And the fan base, at this stage, the Patriots are in desperate need of someone they can believe in to get the team where they need to go. They have the quarterback.
So is there a named defensive coordinator they could hire? Could be
Brian Flores.
Yeah. Would he take that job?
But that's also lateral, right? So it's like, how could they? Because you'd have to give compensation.
You'd almost have to give him promise of a coach down the line or something or something. And that might shake Gerard.
I mean, if I had my druthers, I would be get rid of Elliot Wolf, find a job for Gerard Mayo in the front office, and put Brian Flores in as the head coach. Because that would be a make good for how they butchered the Brian Flores thing with the text to Daboll.
Did you ask about Hightower or somebody else?
I did.
His answer was not that supportive of Hightower.
Leads me to believe that he's uncomfortable in his current stead.
Maybe Ninko. I'll lead him to D.C. Give him the headset.
I love Ninko. I would just be... I did take for granted how Bill was able to, in-game, stymie an opponent.
Yep, no doubt.
The only game I can remember, you know, obviously there were other ones that were more famous, is the Wildcat game in 08. Like,
well,
he couldn't adjust. Every other time in my life, I've seen Bill Belichick, if nothing else, just because he's so damn stubborn, he wasn't going to get beaten the same way.
Well, there was something comforting for a Pats fan, I would imagine. Knowing that Bill was there in the 80s, as a defensive coordinator, game planning successfully, adjusting, and then you'd see Bill with the printed sheets on the sideline. He'd be going through the Zapruder, you know, tape, the All-22 in-game, and you would see on the field changes, and he would make adjustments.
And if I'm Gerard Mayo, I say, Bill Belichick, who is everything you described, you trade a first-round pick for him, and you went from an 8-8 team with Pete Carroll to 5-11. And that team... I mean, if we're going to play...
Pete Carroll, great coach.
If we're going to put two teams... I love that Shaughnessy gives Pete Carroll two championships, one for the Seahawks, one for the Patriots. if you were to put the 2000 Patriots against the 2024 Patriots, the 2000 Patriots would be favored by 3 touchdowns. I mean, that defense had Ty Law, Teddy Bruschi, Lawyer Malloy, Ted Johnson, Bobby Hamilton... I mean, that was a Mike Vrabel. It was a wagon, and they won 5 games.
Back to Bill and the college stuff. He does have his minions pushing this narrative, including his buddy Nick Saban, who was on Pat McAfee and was asked how Bill
do we have this
at college. Yeah, here's Saban.
Bill's an outstanding coach. He's very well organized. He's a good teacher. I think he relates well with the players. So I think he would do a great job in college. The only thing that would be different is recruiting. But as you say, relationship building is not as important. Not that Bill wouldn't be good at that. It's not as important now that you pay players. I think it becomes a little bit more about, you know, the money and the deal that you make with them. So it is a little bit more like pro football. So, and I think Bill knows how to manage that and would do a good job.
There you go. Saban's with him. Maybe you could bring Saban with him, literally.
Is North Carolina tax-free?
Don't know. Zach looked that up.
I don't think they are. I think Tennessee... Anyway, I don't think they are. But if they are, then that would be another, you know, reason why. But
Here's a big-picture question for you. We get in the weeds with Bill and Brady every week and Mayo. As a Pats fan, Eamon says Carolina not tax-free. All you wanted coming into the year was Drake May.
Yep.
Has it been a success? He's great.
Yes, that has been a success.
So the season is a success. It doesn't feel that way, but it is.
The fact that he is as good as he is, as quick as he has been, has he been this good this fast, and the issues around him have not developed at all. In fact, they have regressed, is what clouds it. If the team was, you know, like, Parcells famously had a year where they were really bad, but they won their last four games and they were building something.
But if you put a poll up right now,
this has not been a successful season.
You don't think people would vote yes?
No.
That's a poll. Put that poll up. That's
what do you
hot,
think?
That's
a thumbs up, Griffin, Eamon. Do you think people say successful or not successful?
No, Griffin is a Giants fan.
No, I know. It's just that he knows how to watch
people. But he's clouded. React. He's seen a disastrous season up close and personal with the New York Giants right now.
Why did Baker Mayfield hate Tommy Cutlets so much? I didn't get that.
That was weird. I don't get that.
Okay. Yeah.
He said it was like paying homage to him. Or something?
No, he certainly was not. He hated him.
What was the question again?
Do you think the Patriots fans think this is a successful season?
And should
no.
they?
No. No, it was a building year.
But are they building or are they not? Do you think it was a successful rebuilding year?
I feel like this is like the first year, like, this first year of a head coach. They're trying to build like a base, it seems.
And they have.
What's the base?
Drake May.
Ace of Base rejoin?
Ace of Base.
So you have your quarterback, right?
Yes.
We have a similar situation with the Giants.
You have no quarterback.
We had a terrible offensive line, so we let go of Saquon Barkley.
That was a brilliant move.
It made sense at the time. I have a take on that. Whatever.
Good to get some Tanqueray. I mean,
yeah. So we invested that money into a better offensive line, built that up brick by brick. Now we have Andrew Thomas, who's hurt right now, and we have a stable center. And Evan Neal was a bust, but...
Right, so...
Long story short...
You're getting your quarterback.
Griffin answered your question. As a Pats fan, you should be thrilled. Look at what he's talking about with the Giants. They're a mess. That's
they
a
sure
mess.
Are.
Pats are in much better shape.
Okay, well, we'll do the poll. We'll get everybody's reaction.
Thank
I want to hear you.
And Soto, is it a done deal? Curtis says, by today, we're hearing.
Noon.
Okay, it is the Ken and Curtis Show on location, in front of people. Curtis hobnobbing. Curtis had a Michael's Deli sandwich. He's in a better mood.
Awesome. Delicious.
Greg is ready to finish in within the next 2 hours.
Yeah, get the sundial.
And I'll tell you what I want to hear next. I want to hear the exchange with you and Mayo one
more
time. Because he just totally turned into a puddle.
What about
right
a supercut of all the best moments of me and Mayo so
at
far?
At some point, we will assemble that, but they keep coming in. So the clip of the week, Curtis v. Mayo, next. Well, Ken and Curtis are at the Grand in the Seaport, Scorpion Bowl.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Banner civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And we have people on Twitch. We're on Twitch today. Thanks to Eamon for coming in on a Saturday and working. You got to give him a little credit for that, Curtis. I mean,
yeah.
Eamon's been through a lot here in this company, from the beginnings with Jerry when he was forced to fill in for me and
bad
opens. And
So I have that. I remember that so well. I was in Steamboat. Was it Steamboat or Bachelor? Some part of Colorado. I don't remember. I think Steamboat Springs. And I was 2 hours behind, and I was just up driving around, and I'm listening to this, and they play the open 3 straight times, and it's dead air.
Eamon's calling in life.
I hear Jerry. I will never critique anybody running a board. I've never been able to do it. I just am. I could feel the vitriol.
Oh, I felt for him from many miles away.
Oh, my God. But that was unbelievable.
Here he is. He's a success. He's a multi-platform star, and he's here on a weekend. And
he's, he's working
running
his butt off. And he's, I would say, stock up Eamon, stock down McCaffrey.
And people are on Twitch that are running. Correct me if I'm wrong, Eamon. People are running the race and on Twitch at the same time, which seems to be a challenge to me. I'm not sure how they're pulling that off, but we appreciate it.
We got 50 people in there right now?
We have 77 on Twitch and some others on YouTube. So
look out.
Talking about foundations today and whether the Patriots have established one, that's where we're starting.
We're building one now. I love it.
All right, we've got some calls on the Pats and spending. So let's go to John and Gardner here this morning on the Kent and Curtis Show. Hello, John.
Good morning, boys. Thanks for taking the call, Ken. Curtis, I saw something that I think to me is alarming in that interview with Mayo. Did you at all get the impression that he or somebody that works for him was monitoring what you guys were saying and perhaps other media sources? Because he seemed, I looked at that on Twitch, which I don't usually do, and he was looking down at his notes and stuff. And as you know, before you finished that question, he was right. Jumping in about, anyway, go ahead.
So, John, it is my belief that Stacey James is the best at what he does, and Stacey is the communications director for the Patriots, has been for 30-some-odd years now, and he listens to everything, and he does his job. I think he was definitely made aware that I had said what I had said earlier, and he was prepared for it. So, I mean, I don't think that that's unique. Obviously, I don't think Stacey and Bill had that relationship. That was sort of a Bears role, but I would think it's relatively common for head coaches in the NFL that do a weekly radio hit to have someone give them a heads up about things that may be coming their way. All right, John is adios. John.
There we go. Let's go to Judy in Boston to follow that up. Hello, Judy.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. Great, Judy. How are you?
Long time listener. We don't have time to call. Everything is about money, but payrolls are structured differently. If anybody can pull up Super Bowl of last year, it was a great interview with Patrick Mahomes. I don't think it was right after the game. It might be that evening or the next day, but he said the reason why we win is we do things differently with our money so we can keep good players, pay people what they want. And it just sounded fascinating. I don't know, because Robert Kraft, there's a lot of money there, but we're not going to win if the money isn't put where it's supposed to be. That's my opinion. And Gerard Mayo, a great, great guy, full of good character. But your thoughts on the payroll?
So, Judy, it's a scam that's perpetrated on football fans by the owners. The salary cap was created by the owners as a means to limit the amount of money they had to spend. It was foolishly agreed to by the Players Association without some guarantee of actual guaranteed money. The way that you decrease the salary cap number is by increasing the amount of guaranteed money in a deal. So it's actually the opposite. The more money you spend the more guaranteed money you spend, the more cap space you develop, which is how they agreed to it. Players think the owners would want to do that. They don't. They want to keep the payrolls as low as possible, just like anybody's boss out there. But the Chiefs do it pretty simply. They don't do it differently. They have a great quarterback. They have great players on defense. They have one of the best offensive minds in the history of the NFL in Andy Reid, and they have one of the best defensive coordinators in the history of the NFL with Spagnuolo. So they spend money on places where it's not capped, like the coaching staff. They have a great GM, and is it Veach? Brett Veach? Something like that. Andy Reid does not get full control, and they have a separation of church and state there, and they've obviously done it, but minus Mahomes. I mean, Andy Reid's a good coach without a championship.
And Brady, for years here, took less.
Right, but he could have taken more. It's just a ruse. It's the word of the day.
He fell for it.
Of course. But he also, it's benefited him. Like, Robert Kraft, I think, whatever power he has, was used to help Tom get that approval as the first former player to be a minority owner of an NFL team. That had to get two-thirds of the NFL to agree to it.
Yep.
And, you know, the issue is just simple. It just takes money. It's not some, like, big, like, you know, algorithm. Like, you just need to spend money. You got to hire the right people, and then you got to let it happen. And that's what they don't have right now.
Well, let's see if they hired the right coach. Let's listen back to the clip of the week here. Curtis v. Mayo from the Monday Greg Hill Show visit. And he'll be back this Monday after the bye week refreshed.
Right.
And he won't be in any of this mess because he won't have spoken this weekend.
Right. No loss.
But he capitulated to you. Here's how it sounded.
So I think you've done a great job of being your own man, and it's something that we've credited you for, that a lot of people have followed certain coaches, and then they try to be that person. It was frustrating for me to hear you cite the Super Bowl
with
the Seahawks.
Yeah, I shouldn't have done that. You're right. And look, and just, I probably shouldn't, you know, when I said it, I was frustrated, first of all, which I should have taken a deep breath. I should not have said that. I should not have said it.
Yeah.
I agree.
Ah, neutralized. Bam. hey, he did not expect me. He didn't expect me to say, you know what, guys? You know what, guys? I should not have said that.
Yeah, you figured him out.
I shouldn't have said it. Then you're like, it was like, I saw smoke coming out your ears. Look, I shouldn't have said it. I shouldn't have said it. And we all make mistakes.
Honestly, I have not had anybody agree with me in 5 years.
I know.
That's not true. We just agreed that the planning of the flight. Two times in a day.
Gerard, you're my man. So that actually happened with Bill the year before, where they were punting. There was something at the end of the brutal loss of the Cardinals the Saints blowout game where they were down 24-0 and they punted. I asked a question. He's like, oh yeah, we didn't do that. Like, he didn't even allow me to
cut you off at the pass.
So I mean, but it is so.
It's different. It's different than Bill. I mean, I know you're saying he did it once, too.
He did do it. He did the exact same thing.
But he didn't cackle afterwards and make a joke out of it.
The 5 minutes before the interview is much more fun. We sit there. We talked about – Gerard and I were arguing with Wiggy about how stupid it was that Ohio State bitched about the flag being – where are you on that, by the way?
Dumb
by Michigan or Ohio State?
Planting the flag.
Oh, you are such a toolbox.
Why would you plant a flag?
Why would you allow it to make you run on the field and start a fight?
Well,
it's just a flag. You lost the game.
You've got to react to buffoonery with buffoonery. So
wait, so it's buffoonery to plant a flag.
Yes.
It's not buffoonery to attack the flag.
Correct. I support the attack of the flag.
Is that just because I was right on the pick and you don't want to talk?
Yeah, exactly. By the way, poll is up. My poll. I don't know if you posted one. You didn't see what you did, so I put one up. Does Drake Maye's play alone make the Pats season a success?
That is such a leading question.
50-50, basically.
No, that's still losing, so not a success.
Basically 50-50. We'll let that breathe.
Dixville notch.
And runners are coming in by the swarms. I don't see Greg.
Has anybody seen Greg? A quarter of a mile.
Is Greg dead? Is he still on the course? Where is he? We're going to try to track down Greg at his own Jingle All the Way 5K as we continue from the Scorpion Bar in the Seaport.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid, the audience is growing, but the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.